Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Tata Elxsi Limited Q3 FY 2024-25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shashank Ganesh from EY. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Ganesh.
Thank you very much. Good evening to all the participants on this call. Good morning if you're logging in from the Western side. Before we proceed to the call, let me remind you that the discussion may contain forward-looking statements that may involve known or unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors. Therefore, it must be viewed in conjunction with the businesses that will cause further result performance or achievements that differ significantly from what is expressed or implied by such statements. To take us through the results and answer your questions today, we have the senior manager of Tata Elxsi, represented by Mr. Manoj Raghavan, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Gaurav Bajaj, Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Cauveri Sriram, Company Secretary. We will start the call with a brief overview of the quarter by Mr. Raghavan, followed by a Q&A session. We would appreciate your cooperation in restricting yourself to two questions to allow participants an opportunity to interact. If you have any further questions, you may join the queue, and we will be happy to respond to them if time permits. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Manoj Raghavan. Over to you, Manoj.
Thank you, Shashank. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us this evening for the Q3 earnings call, and I hope that you and everyone in your family are safe and healthy. I'm happy to report that we have delivered a steady third quarter in terms of top line in a seasonally weak quarter. Our revenues from operations was reported at rupees 939.2 crores. During the quarter, EBITDA margins stood at 26.3%, and PBT margin was reported at 26.1%. This was the first quarter in which the full impact of salary increases for all our employees was seen. Our margins in the quarter was also impacted by adverse currency movements in GBP, Euro, and JPY. It is important to mention here that our margins in the previous quarter were aided by one-time R&D incentives and tax credits from previous years. We continue to see positive outcomes of our strategic business focus on Japan, emerging markets, and capitalizing on the India opportunity. During the quarter, our revenues from India has grown by 21.9% year-on-year, while Japan and emerging markets grew at 66.8% year-on-year. This will serve us well over the next few quarters, even as we navigate geopolitical uncertainty, currency volatility, and industry-specific challenges in Europe and U.S. Coming to our businesses, the automotive industry has seen significant business challenges in the past few months, with OEMs, especially in the U.S. and Europe, reporting sales and growth challenges in their major markets. This has impacted new deal closures and the Tier 1 supplier spend. Amidst this business environment, Tata Elxsi continues to do well to win and execute on large deals won over this year and demonstrated differentiated values to customers to protect and grow our revenues in a difficult quarter for the entire automotive industry. During this quarter, our transportation business grew 0.5% quarter-on-quarter in constant currency terms. In the last quarter, we announced an offshore development center for Suzuki Corporation, Japan, to support their global technology software and engineering development. Suzuki's CTO, Kato-san, highlighted the importance of the center as a strategic and core component of Suzuki's innovation strategy, helping it accelerate software and virtual development across connected, autonomous, and electric technologies. We are delighted to be launching our Avenir software-defined vehicle software suite at the CES 2025 conference, which is happening this week in Las Vegas, the premier global showcase for technology and innovation. Avenir encompasses a cloud-native virtual development platform and a hybrid global validation platform and is powered by the Snapdragon Digital Chassis platform in partnership with Qualcomm. We offer a compelling proposition of a ready-to-adopt solution coupled with deep digital and software expertise and scaled talent base to help global OEMs shift left and accelerate the SDV and future mobility roadmaps. Our media and communication business reported a 0.4% quarter-on-quarter growth. We are positioned well to help customers in the media, entertainment, and telecom industry on all three levels of growth, efficiency and innovation. We won a large multi-year deal with a US headquartered operator to develop and manage a portfolio of applications and expect to ramp this up over the next few quarters. We are positioned well in some very large deals across the world with decisions and outcomes expected in the coming quarter and beyond. Our healthcare and life sciences business reported a growth of 1.1% quarter on quarter. We continue to win new marquee healthcare customers, and our GenAI-powered regulatory digital engineering and sustainability offerings are seeing significant traction in the market. Our system integration business witnessed decision delays in some large projects that had a significant impact on revenues in the quarter. While we are aiming to win and execute them over this quarter and beyond, we continue to work on pivoting the business away from project-based to annuity and service-based revenue streams. In terms of our employee base, we continue to do well with attrition, remaining low at 12.4% during the quarter on annualized base. During this quarter, we've added net of 85 employees into the system. We step into the fourth quarter of this financial year with confidence of large automotive deal wins in the year and the quarter that will see continued ramp-ups even as we navigate the current volatility in the automotive market. The stability and return to growth in our healthcare and media and communication verticals and large strategic deals in the pipeline across all our key verticals. With this, we will open the session for Q&A.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Bhavik Mehta with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and so a couple of questions. Firstly, Manoj, if you can talk about the outlook for the auto vertical in terms of when do you expect deal closures to normalize or the ramp ups to normalize, and we should, you know, go back to the kind of growth we saw in the first half. The second question is to Gaurav, if you can just give the margin walk for the quarter, and how should we think about the tax rate going forward, because tax rate has been quite low over the last couple of quarters. Thank you.
Yeah, if I break the automotive market into two parts, right? One is, Europe. Europe in general, we see automotive market would take some time to recover. I would say a quarter or a couple of quarters is where we see continued pain in the European market. The U.S. market is seeing a little bit of traction. We are seeing some positive work happening, and that should recover maybe in a quarter or so. However, we're seeing a lot of, you know, good opportunities in Asia, in India, as well as in Japan. And that we are hoping that that business will continue to grow, as we've seen in this quarter. We will accelerate the growth because we won some good opportunities, some large deals, and we would definitely want to, grow, focus on delivery excellence and really accelerate our revenues for Q4 and subsequently, right? So yes, Europe will be a little slow. APAC, India will definitely accelerate. Europe will US will be steady. So that's the outlook for the automotive industry. From a margin perspective, I would request Gaurav to take that.
Hey Bhavik, hi. So Bhavik, I think what we alluded to, also Manoj mentioned that our constant currency basis we came flat. However, there had been adverse movement in some of the major currencies, in which we operate, specifically, Euro, Pound and GPY, which has led to almost, 140 basis point impact on our margins. So most of the, differential margins that you see from the last quarter to this quarter on the operating EBIT basis is due to the currency impact. While this quarter also intakes the wage hikes that has been done by the company, which completes the wage hike cycle, for the company at overall, employee base, this for this financial year. The wage hike impact was almost 100 basis point. but that was, you know, also compensated and mitigated towards, you know, through some of the other operating leverage and efficiency that we can, you know, bring in towards pyramid optimization, utilization improvement, and also, you know, the on-site salary cost also due to the currency movement help in terms of the reduction in the cost. So most of the wage hike has been compensated and, you know, mitigated towards, you know, through other means and, you know, leverages that we have on the operating front. Apart from that, there is a slight increase in the other expenses because of the third-party contractor that we have to intake in this quarter for some of the positions that require to be fulfilled where we don't have the required skill set. Probably over the period, we can, you know, roll over those third-party contracts with, you know, internal workforce. Also, some increase has happened on the travel and the visa front due to the renewals and some of the positions that required to be fulfilled at the on-site. This, you know, this is almost other expense impact of 60 basis points. And apart from this, there is a reduction in the cost of goods sold, you know, towards the equipment and others passed to the related, you know, product revenue in the quarter. And there is a dip in the depreciation in the finance cost of another 1.5 crores. So both put together, cost of goods sold and the depreciation would, you know, give you 45 basis points kind of a benefit into the margin. So in all total, you know, there is a, you know, impact of about 150 basis points, you know, when you compare 25% EBIT last quarter to 23.5% this quarter. I think your second question was on the tax benefit and the tax rate for the, you know, for the current period and for the full year. I think we stated at the start of the year that most of our SEZ unit has come out of the 100% benefit slab and has moved to the 50%. And we believe that this year, you know, our tax rate would be upwards of 25%. As you know, last quarter it was lower because, you know, of one-off, you know, income tax refunds that we received last quarter. This quarter also tax rate slightly, you know, being at the same level or slightly lower to the last quarter, being, you know, on two accounts. One, due to the, you know, differential in the deferred tax asset because of reduction in the depreciation and we don't, you know, incurring any additional capex during the year, and also the M2M for the exchange related, you know, profit that is not computed for the income tax purpose, you know, when we do the tax provisioning. So that has led to the, you know, the income tax rate for the current quarter is about 22.2%. With that, you know, on a YTD basis, now our, you know, tax rate has been at 24.1%. What we believe that quarter four will not have those one time off unless, you know, there is some other favorable tax orders that we can receive. On a normalized basis, I believe that our, you know, tax rate would be upwards of 25%, probably 26%, but maybe for the full year, we may, you know, exit the full year at the effective tax rate of something between 24.5% to 25%.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Vimal Jamnadas Gohil with Alchemy Capital Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, if you could help me with what was the mix of OEMs within our auto vertical for this particular quarter?
You're talking of the revenues from OEMs, right?
Yes, exactly.
Revenues from OEMs has increased, I think, from 67% to 72% this quarter.
Okay, so the large amount of the tier one continues to be a source of a challenge for us. Would that assumption be right?
That is true. That is the industry trend that we are seeing. Especially in the Western world, the large tier ones, they are not winning deals, and as a result of which, they are outsourcing towards, you know, companies like us is also coming down. So a lot of our revenues, we are focusing on the OEM side. Yes, that's true.
Right. Sir, in the auto vertical, most of your peers are also calling out a bit of softness. But are OEMs also relooking at their long-term spends on their EV architectures or their software architectures for, let's say, 4 years, 5 years out? Is that also being reconsidered? Or are some of the near-term, typically what we've seen in a soft auto market in EU or the US, is that the capex, immediate capex on the existing platforms is cut. But in this particular down cycle of autos in the West, are you seeing some of the EV platforms or the software platforms being reconsidered upon?
Yeah, you're right. It is a near-term, you know, projects that are being, you know, reconsidered because, you know, as you would have read, right, most companies are really looking to refocus back on ICE and hybrids. So that is where we see there's some amount of reprioritization of their near-term, you know, EV R&D budgets. Long-term EV strategy continues, but it's just the, you know, near-term budgets that are being relooked at.
Most of the projects that we are working on would be or towards the long-term initiatives of these OEMs, right?
It's a mix. It's not that, you know, 100% of it is long-term, but it's a mix of both near-term and long-term.
Understood. Thank you so much. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Vijay Pandey with Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I have one question. I just wanted to understand the electric vehicle sales in Western markets, particularly in US and Europe, are stagnated. But how do you look, how the software-defined vehicle, like ADAS level, is that also you are seeing a slowdown, or is it like continuing at the similar pace as what was expected? My understanding is that it has slowed down. If you can highlight what is the level of penetration you expect, particularly by end of the decade, by 2030, sort of.
If I understand your question right, you're asking of how is the software-defined vehicle market outlook, right, for Tata Elxsi? SDV and ADAS, right? So I think Tata Elxsi has been investing in building our own SDV framework, right? And so we have announced it in the Consumer Electronics Show CES this week. It's Avenir, which we have partnered with Qualcomm. It's built on a Snapdragon Qualcomm chassis. We are pretty confident that SDVs are here to stay. We have interest from many of our customers, not just the passenger car companies, but also commercial vehicles, because from a fleet management perspective, SDV makes a lot of sense. So we have ongoing customers where we are engaged on the SDV platform. Plus, we are also in discussions with a few OEMs, both passenger vehicles and commercial vehicle companies, to really, license the solution that we have and build over that so that we can give time to market benefits for our customers. So yes, I think SDV definitely has a lot of interest. ADAS is of course, it's another area that we have been investing for quite a few years now. We see continued interest in ADAS opportunities from the OEMs to bring in differentiated solutions to the market. There's a lot of opportunities also on the verification and validation side of ADAS. So that's something we believe will continue. So if you ask me by 2030, what is the outlook? I would say especially if EVs pick up. And definitely there will be SDV play both in the passenger car vehicles as well as in adjacent markets of commercial or off-road and other areas as well. So we continue to invest in SDV.
Okay.
Thank you. Next question comes on the line of Ritesh Poladia with Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My question is on the automotive segment. So with China EV exports rising, maybe 2025 might be flat here. But how does that change segment for us?
Yeah, so I think a lot of the reason today for, I would say, the softness in the automotive market, especially in the West, is due to the rapid growth of the Chinese OEMs, right? And actually, if you look at it, many of the auto OEMs, you look at the big three in Germany, look at the, you know, US companies, they used to make a lot of money in China. And China market used to be pretty big for many of these customers. With Chinese OEMs now launching EVs that are at par or even better than some of the equivalent models available from the Western car companies, many Chinese consumers are buying Chinese cars, right? Which automatically means the market share of the Western OEM in China is coming down, and hence the top line and bottom line for these companies are actually coming down because of the impact of the successful ramp up of the Chinese OEMs like BYD and others, right? So I think yes, so that is also one of the reasons why the Western market is sort of in a state of they are reducing the budgets, they are not clear, they are talking of non-tariff barriers, the local governments are talking of putting up barriers for the Chinese OEMs to come into their markets and so on. So there is a and of course there's also a push towards ICE and hybrid, because in some sense they believe that moving towards the EV is only going to strengthen the China ecosystem, because most of the batteries and components, the motors, inverters, everything comes from China, even for the the global OEMs, right? So there's a little bit of, there is competition, there is politics, there is everything intertwined there. So I think that is a challenge that the Western world is facing, and it'll be interesting to figure out how they will address it. And unfortunately for us, our fortunes are also linked to how the OEMs are able to compete effectively with the Chinese car companies and grow their market share, right? So it's a challenge, it's an opportunity for us to bring in solutions, bring in capabilities like the SDV platform that we have. We are investing in various other products, a battery passport, BMS, and a number of things that we are doing, and we are hoping that whatever investments which we make will help the Western the OEMs effectively compete with the Chinese OEMs and win back market share, right? So I think it's very difficult to give a precise commentary of what's going to happen, but these are all the various moving parts that are there in the market today.
So just to extend on this, given that R&D is all inside the country, so don't you think that is a much bigger challenge for a company like us to compete with the China?
When you say you are talking of the R&D of Chinese companies, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that definitely, the only problem with the Chinese companies have is, in general, there is, the Western companies, especially the large major car companies, are wary of using Chinese software. So there will always be a reluctance to rely completely on Chinese vendors. So that is something that, companies in India can really tap into and provide that capabilities to the other global car companies.
Great. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Vimal Jamnadas Gohil with Alchemy Capital Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, once again. So since you're discussing China, a simple question arises is, do we really sense an opportunity here? I mean, given the fact that there's so much happening there, do we really have a chance to tap into, some of their software-defined architectures or BMS or whatever?
No, so we are not ignoring the China market. While there is competition, while our customers, OEMs, are competing with the Chinese companies, in some sense, they're also collaborating with them. we have heard of all those announcements in the market, right, where OEMs, the global OEMs tying up with Chinese OEMs for the China market and so on, right? So there are various collaborations that are happening. So through our customers, we are definitely engaged with both the Chinese OEMs and the Chinese suppliers. And so in some sense, we are aware of what is happening in the market, right? And there is some amount of collaboration that is happening as we speak. So I will not be able to give more details on it, but we are very much aware. Whether we can directly enter China market and work for Chinese OEMs, we are looking into it, but I think it's a very, very difficult proposition at this point in time, because just the speed of the market and the culture, the language, there are a lot of other challenges that is there in the market that we need to address. But we are finding an indirect route by working via our customers.
Understood. And sir, within our transportation vertical, I think a couple of years back or even more, we had spoken about some of the adjacencies. Is there any update over there? Has that taken a bit of a backseat? How should we look at that? I mean, rail, maybe aerospace or something like that.
So there are a few adjacencies that we continue to focus on, right? Primarily, I think it's one is the commercial vehicle space. That is something, as I have also indicated, that look, even from a software-defined vehicle perspective, that is something we are seeing a lot of interest. On the connected car or the connected vehicle perspective, there is a lot of interest in that space. We are also, winning deals in that space. So commercial vehicles, definitely. Rail, we have invested heavily. It's sort of plateaued. We grew well, but it's sort of plateaued, and we are trying to figure out how to, increase that, because, the number of, rail operators or the OEMs are very limited. It's not as if it's a pretty large market, but we have not given up there. We're really now focusing on three aspects: commercial vehicles, off-road, and also the aero avionics and, defense, right? These are the three adjacencies from a transportation business that we are placing our bets on.
Understood. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Sulabh Govila with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. My first question is, with respect to the growth in transportation vertical that we've seen this quarter. Just wanted to understand that if you were to break down this growth that we've seen, let's say compared to last two quarters, then this lower growth is more a function of the ramp-ups that were expected to happen. They did not happen on time, or those ramp-ups, they were as per plan, but there were other project deferrals or cancellations that were ongoing.
I would say, look, we definitely have taken a hit in the transportation business from our customers in Europe because of, the market conditions and some of the projects being deferred, right? The spend has reduced there. At the same time, we have won, certain, large deals, and those ramp-ups have happened, but those ramp-ups have not happened to the extent that, we would have wanted, right? And there's also a little bit of customers are also a little careful in terms of how much they would want to spend. Plus, there are certain new customers that we have announced, like Suzuki and so on. Those ramp-ups have happened to the extent that, we have, that we would want to, right? And those are the things, those are the three buckets that we have. So anytime, even in the next quarter, we will look at it in these three buckets and really push forward on those customers that have money and the willingness to spend. And that's something that we'll really, really focus on. And, the remaining two buckets, we will, especially on the deals that we have already won, there's a slight deferment in terms of full ramp-ups. Ramp-ups are happening, but not happening to the extent at which we had expected. So we'll definitely push to see to get back to that original ramp-up plan. And those customers where we have, there's still a little bit of a hold in the budgets or a pause in the budgets, that is where we'll have to, wait and, monitor and see how it progresses.
Okay. Understood. Just taking this forward, so if you were to think about this particular quarter 4Q, given where we are standing today, would you say that based on these multiple moving parts in the three buckets that you mentioned, a decent acceleration from the current levels is going to take some time because there are multiple moving parts here?
It's very difficult to sit here today and give an exact commentary, but from a management perspective, we definitely want to push all levers to really exit Q4 with a decent run rate. So that's something that we will be focusing as a management team.
Okay, understood. And then secondly, with respect to both the media and the healthcare vertical, now that they are sort of stabilized, would you expect them to continue to be stable and steady for some quarters before you think that the growth can return in these verticals where we are today?
Yeah, so we have seen some green shoots in both these verticals. We've also had some large deals in both the verticals. Plus, we also have some deals that we are working on as we speak. This quarter and the subsequent quarter, closures will happen over a period of time. So we're pretty confident that we can bring back the growth. But you're right. It could take one quarter, maybe a couple of quarters to really get back. But we are seeing those green shoots, and we would be laser sharp focused to really, extract that value, as soon as possible. So that's something that we will stay focused.
Okay, understood. And then the last question is on margins. So, if you look at the past several quarters, we have gone down from EBIT margin levels of 27% to now 23.5%. And there are obviously multiple reasons for that, slower growth being one of them. So just wanted to understand that you think that these are the new normal levels of margins, or we can go back to those 27% margins, in due course of time. Or the third thing could be that in the near term, because of the lack of growth or moderation in growth, the margin uptick will also happen with time.
No, margin uptick, I mean, we are heavily focused on ensuring that we get back to our margin profiles that we had indicated earlier. Gaurav discussed in the beginning, this quarter, margins are a tad lower because of the full impact of the wage hike that we had given. I mean, those are things that we can't push beyond a particular time frame. So that's already a committed expense. So we were working on margin levers, as you rightly pointed out. The biggest lever for us is improving our billability, and that stems from growing our top line, and along with growth, the margin performance also will improve. So we are very cognizant of that, and we're keeping a sharp focus on our overall costs. And that's something that in the short term to medium term, we will be working to improve the margin profile.
Understood, sir. Thanks for taking my questions.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Nitesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. So this is the first time I'm attending the conference. Okay. So I would like to know, where do you see the growth coming, the coming quarter and also for the next financial year, considering, the various challenges what we are facing at the moment?
Yeah, so, definitely there are, headwinds and challenges that I've discussed in detail, right? So in each of the industry verticals, we are really looking at adjacencies and how we can bring in growth, right? So in the medium to long term, definitely our focus on the adjacencies in the transportation business, for example, aero and defense and the commercial vehicle side is something that we are really pushing to see if that growth can come back. At the same time, we've also built a suite of products, right? We talked about SDV, talked about battery passport. In the media and communication vertical also, we talked about a number of products and intellectual properties that we have already invested in. So while the market has been weak and, our availability has been low, we have been using that time to really invest and build products that we can, license subsequently and, earn, returns and so on. So I think mid to long term, I think we have definitely, levers that we can use, to bring back growth. And that's something that we're fairly confident that, given all these uncertainties and so on, right, once we have a clearer picture, we will be able to really, get back the growth. The fundamentals of the company are still strong. Tata Elxsi is known for its design, digital capabilities. We still have a very good name with all our customers. Most of our projects are executed in a timely manner. They are green projects. Our customer satisfaction is almost at the rate of 4.75 out of 5. So we are tracking all of those parameters, and all of those parameters are green for us. It's just a question of, latching on to the growth engines and, delivering that value. We're fairly confident that, we'll be able to get there.
Okay, thank you. I just have one more follow-up question. Okay, so are you looking for any acquisition considering, the cash we have on the books of around 1,000 crores? And the second is, how much are we dependent on JLR? Okay, so from the OEM perspective, are we heavily concentrated on JLR?
JLR is definitely one of our, significant, customers, no doubt about it. But there are a number of other OEMs as well that we work with. So I think over a period of time, we have sort of, ensured that our dependence on JLR as an account has actually, come down. So I think we're fairly, I'm happy with the level at which we are operating with JLR today. And at the same time, also happy with the growth in, other OEM accounts. So I'm not overly, concerned about that. Regarding M&A and acquisition, we continue to look out and, scan for opportunities, especially in adjacencies and new areas that we want to, invest in. Typically, we are looking for small-sized, companies. We don't believe in that, a big bang, acquisition. So we will be careful, and it has to, there has to be a rational why we acquire a company, and it has to result in, positive, business outlook. So there are a number of filters that we have. In general, we take a lot of time to really, analyze and, only take those cases where we believe it makes sense for us. So we are very, very selective when it comes to M&A. Let me put it that way.
Thank you. All the best. Looking forward to speak in next quarter call. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Rishi Maheshwari with AXA Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. So, just got off a call from the TCS who mentions that the current quarter gives them significant hope of quick deal wins, low deal cycles, improvement in discretionary spend, and categorically speaking about CY25 is going to be much better than what they've seen in CY24. Now, from your commentary, we're not gathering the same confidence so far. I may have not been able to understand it in the same vein. So we're just trying to understand whether, is it largely, I understand 50% is automotives and that is still reeling under some form of pressure. But having said that, you've also mentioned in your press release that the Japanese and emerging markets deal wins gives you enough confidence for the near term. So help us understand and reconcile that thought that, you know, this is one year where perhaps we're looking at single digit growth itself. So what can accelerate this to a double digit growth for, if not this year, at least the next year? What are you looking at? Are you sensing the same forms of, you know, market sense that TCS has been speaking of?
I've not heard the TCS presentation, so I can't comment on that. Definitely, as you said, 50% of our revenues come from the automotive segment. And the major markets there, which is, Europe for us, is definitely, we are seeing a slowdown. Whether it'll, I mean, we'll get a better clarity after a quarter or a couple of quarters. At this point in time, it's very difficult. And that is also the reason why I cannot categorically say that, look, automotive market will definitely, you know, do well, right? Especially Europe. But however, as I said, Japan, India, and, you know, the rest of the world and U.S., we see a lot more positive indications. And that is something that we believe will drive our, you know, growth in the transportation business for the next financial year. Now, whether that growth will overcome, you know, any sort of slowness that we've seen in Europe is something that we have to wait and watch.
Sure. And just at the cost of reiteration, aside of the automobile, you mentioned that whether it's healthcare or whether it's media and communication, in those verticals, you've seen a distinct turnaround versus what we've seen in Q3. Am I right?
Yes. So you have seen that, you know, at least there are green shoots, at least there are deal wins happening, revenues are growing. So those are all positive indications for us.
And margins, you've alluded to getting back to between 25-26% in the near term. Barring the one-offs that you had spoken of in the earlier remarks of your call, you would expect now that the wage cycle is behind you to get somewhere between in the vicinity of 25% plus. Is that a fair understanding?
Yeah, I think that is a fair understanding, and that is our plan to, you know, get back to those kind of the margin. I think Manoj also mentioned during the previous question that I think the priority for us is to, you know, improve our availability and utilization, and that will come from, you know, improving our top line. So there are enough, you know, margin levels available for us to, you know, get back to our, you know, those band of margins, you know, in the short to mid term.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, please restrict yourself to two questions only. Next question comes from the line of Vijay Pandey with Nuvama. Please go ahead.
So thank you for taking my question. Okay, I just wanted to understand about the U.S. market. So probably after the new government here in place, are you seeing any improvement in the automotive market and any deal breakthrough that you may think that is going on that may come over the next quarter or forthcoming quarters? Like Europe is weak, but any update if there is any turnaround in the U.S. market?
Your voice is breaking. So your question is, whether we are seeing any turnaround in the U.S. market, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and with the new government of, you know, Trump coming in, and what is that impact, right? So I think for us, U.S. market is important because all the three verticals, which is automotive, the media and communication, and the healthcare, has a significant presence in that particular market for us. So both, you know, media and communication and healthcare, we also have a sizable, you know, customer base and, you know, large deals happening in the U.S. geography. So I'm pretty, you know, confident that, and we're continuing to invest in the U.S. geography, right, in terms of, you know, sales, you know, enhancement of the sales team and, you know, a number of things that we are doing in the U.S. market to really ramp up our business in the U.S. Regarding our transportation business, yes, I think there are a number of discussions that are happening with both the OEMs and the tier one, you know, suppliers there. We have, you know, recently announced strategic, you know, announcement with, you know, Qualcomm. Those are also positive for us that, you know, we will together go and, you know, collaborate with customers that use, you know, Qualcomm chipset for SDV. So these are various discussions that are happening. And I think those are reasons why I'm a little more confident that, you know, there will be some recovery in the U.S. market for us.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Jalaj with Swan Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. I hope I'm audible.
Yes.
Yeah. So my first question was with regards to the this quarter in particular, if I were to see, and even Q2, the growth is being predominantly driven by customers which are X of top 10. So could you throw a little light onto that as in geography-wise or maybe how do I match this with the growth coming from what sort of clients specifically? So that was first question.
Yeah, let me answer that before you go. And, you know, as I rightly said, look, a lot of the growth for us this quarter has come in from, you know, Asia-Pacific region and Japan and so on, right? So these are all set of new customers that we have added, and that is why they will not form the part of the top 10 account for us, right? And a lot of the top 10 accounts are auto companies that are based in Europe, you know, as well as US. And so the sort of, you know, general economic situation there results in, you know, that, you know, there's a dip in, you know, in some of those accounts, and that's causing that top 10 to drop.
Understood. And my second question was with regards to the other verticals. So maybe first I'll talk about transportation. So your discussions with clients, are they happening basically specifically to the European clients? There has been a steep cut in the budgets on the ER&D spend, or there's a reprioritization of this spend? How is the discussion particularly happening there? Because I'll tell you why I'm asking this is because under pressure, ideally the companies should be spending a lot more or trying to defend their market specifically.
No, that's a theoretical way of looking at it, right? That doesn't happen, you know, often, you know, when you know, for example, if, you know, car companies have been investing heavily on the EV side and suddenly they see that, look, Chinese companies are coming into their own home country and, you know, selling cars. So, so there is a little bit of a rethink on their overall strategy. Do they invest more on hybrids and ICE and then, you know, talk to the governments about, you know, tariffs and, you know, ensuring that, you know, the car Chinese car companies are not able to sell. So there are a number of things that are happening in the market. So I would say the speed at which all of this is changing has taken some of the car companies by surprise. And that is also resulting in this confusion about budgets and spends and so on, right? So I think over a period of time, we'll get a little more clarity.
Got it. And one last question, maybe. So for both media and telecom and healthcare, at least looks like the bottoming or the rate of degrowth has bottomed out for both the verticals. So you expect, or what sort of discussions are you having in terms of both deal wins and otherwise with the clients? The pickup to happen in these both verticals, would it take a little longer or should happen quickly?
We are hoping that, you know, in both these verticals, you know, the pickup of business should start, you know, from the next quarter onwards. In some cases from Q1, at least there are, you know, that, you know, as I said, right, we have won some large deals and those ramp ups will happen next quarter and the subsequent quarters. And there are a lot of discussions that are happening as we speak. So all of those, depending on closures, right, will definitely bring in revenues in Q1 and so on.
Right. Thanks a lot, Mr. Frank.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Abhishek Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, so just wanted to understand in the auto segment, if I take, let's say, US and Europe as one cluster, and India and other emerging markets where we're seeing good growth as another cluster, how would you, just wanted to get an idea of the differences in these two clusters in terms of let's say, competitive intensity, pricing power, like from the perspective of Tata Elxsi, and availability or price sensitivity in general?
No, we don't, especially in Japan and so on, we don't see that much of an issue with respect to pricing. Of course, in the Indian market, we definitely see, pricing will be an issue. But we're managing it, ensuring that, look, our exposure towards different markets are also based on, look, what sort of price realization we can achieve, right? So we don't see too much of a difference between the Western world, right, whether it's Japan or Europe or U.S. So I think, and of course, competition intensity is definitely, higher in the Western world, because the barriers to working is not there. There is no language, culture, all of those barriers are not there. But if you, go to work with a company in Japan, you have a lot of other barriers. It's not an easy, not easy to work with Japanese companies, unless you have a history of working with them and you understand their quality processes, expectations, language, culture. And typically Japanese companies, right, once you start working with them, it's typically a long-term engagement. They never sign a deal for a 1 year and so on. It's usually a 5 year, a large, a commitment that is there from one company to other, right? So that's the advantage of working with companies in Japan. It takes time, but once you win deals with them, it's usually for the long term.
Understood. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Ajay Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you very much for taking my question. I have one question. There have been many collaborations with well-known companies in transportation, healthcare, and media, including setting up centers of excellence for the last many quarters. Why are we not seeing any monetization of these? Can we see anything on these lines in future?
You are actually seeing monetization, right? And that is why, in spite of, degrowth in, say, a major market like Europe, we are still able to show growth in the transportation business. That is exactly because of the monetization of all the deals that we have won. So it's wrong for you to say that you're not seeing that. Yes, at a company level, you may not see that because of certain markets not performing the way, it was performing, right? So that's the reason. If you have not done these partnerships, if you have not done these deals, then we would have seen a massive degrowth in our business.
Okay, but the growth itself is less than 1% or 2%.
Yes, Mr. Jain, in a difficult market, it's a very difficult market out there in Europe and US. We have been able to show growth. This is a very credible performance, I would say.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Sanjay Chawla with Renaissance Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity, gentlemen. You talked about Western governments responding or looking to respond to Chinese EV makers through tariffs and non-tariff barriers. But specifically, do you see a situation of US and Europe pivoting away from EVs, like by cutting down the subsidies or credits and scaling back EV penetration targets? Because all it seems to have done so far is to let China become dominant in autos and, start hurting the Western automakers.
Yeah, but with Trump coming to power and with Elon Musk by his side, I really don't know what decisions they would take and so on, right? So plus, there is definitely pressure from the German automotive industry lobby, right? Because Germany as an economy depends heavily on the automotive industry. And there is a lot of pain out there with, job cuts and factory closures and so on and so forth, right? So definitely there's a lot of pressure on the government to take certain actions to ensure that the jobs are protected in those local geographies. So we will see some impact.
So you think this tariff and non-tariff barriers essentially seems to be the way to go as of now?
No,
as you look
it doesn't. It doesn't matter what I think or you know. I'm just saying I'm looking at what I'm reading in, and talking to people and so on. Right? I'm not the politician who's deciding, but I'm just saying that is an opportunity, and I don't know whether it'll happen or not.
Right. Got it. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Shyam Ramakrishnan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. In the previous con calls, it was mentioned that it was difficult to exit. It might be difficult to exit FY25 with a better growth rate than FY24. So now that Q3 results are out, is there still any possibility that FY25 could end better? Or is that a really optimistic view?
No, I think FY25 will definitely be a soft year. We were hoping, these headwinds that we're seeing in the automotive industry, we will still be able to find a way to recover. But with the Q4 performance, with the Q3 performance, I think it will be very difficult for us to pull, so much in Q4 to compensate for, the flatness that we're seeing, right? So, yeah, it will be difficult, yeah.
And just one final question. Going forward, I think maybe next 2 years or 3 years, will the tax rate be upwards of 24-25%? Is that the new normal?
Yes, Shyam. I think the tax rate going forward would be upwards of 25%. As you know that there is no new approval happening on the SEZ units of India. So
right.
It's the remaining period for the tax holiday that will continue for some time. So you can expect the tax rate to be upwards of 25%.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my end. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Kanchi Shah with MC Research. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. So I had a question on automotive. So can you please guide us like how much does the US, Europe and Asia contribute to this market?
Geography, you're talking of geography contribution? Do we have the...
In terms of revenue contribution, like how much are these geographies contributing to the automotive market? Like, since you said that Europe is still expected to take time to recover, so and Asia Pacific is doing great for you.
We don't provide the numbers of the, the geo split of the, the verticals. We provide typically the revenue mix from the geo at the company level, but we can give you a little bit qualitative answer that, from the automotive world, the most of the substantial part of the revenue comes from the Europe, then followed by the, the US and the APAC market. But off late, as Manoj mentioned, and we also, mentioned in our press release that automotive market and especially the Western OEM are under certain pressure. But at the same time, we see an uptick happening in the Japanese market and the APAC market. So there is some, movement that is happening, more towards the APAC and the Japanese market, which gets compensated, from the slowdown in the European market. But still, the European market is the, significant part of the overall revenue mix within the automotive.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Sanjay Shah with Pranishta. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Thank you very much for the question. Basically, I just wanted to try and understand what is his relationship or the tie-up or the collaboration that you have set up with CSIR National Aerospace? And how big can the opportunity be? If you could just elaborate on that. And is there a possibility for you to partner with many other such enterprises, be it in India or overseas, for the UAVs and UAMs?
No, sure, absolutely. So that's the as I said, we are building our avionics and aerospace and defense vertical, and the tie-up with NAL is one such. Tie-up that we have, of course, for access to technology as well as, access to their infrastructure and labs, right? Especially when you look at UAVs and, drones, flight control systems and so on and so forth. Some of the labs are very, very expensive to set up and so on. But whereas companies like, NAL, HAL and others already have those infrastructure that is available. So, The tie-up is definitely to, when we bid for projects, there is, a need to have both technology and infrastructure in place, and we are trying to build that through collaboration with some of these organizations.
Do you have a sense on what kind of an opportunity it could be in a few years' time? Or let me ask it slightly differently. Just given the headwinds that you're facing in some, and some of the participants have spoken about it, you've spoken about it with respect to the European automobile industry, and also your initiatives in some of the other areas, would it be fair, or if you could just elaborate on how Tata Elxsi of, let's say, 3 years later would be as compared to where Tata Elxsi is in terms of its business mixes?
Definitely we see aerospace, avionics and defense, going to be a big opportunity area, for us, not just in India, but also, overseas. We talked about UAVs, drones, electrical, vertical takeoff, right, eVTOL. These are all, very, very significant opportunity areas for us 4 to 5 years down the line, right? When the technology matures and, so that is something that we are investing today. We have pretty ambitious plans there. I wouldn't want to put any number there, but if you ask me 4 to 5 years from now, I think that piece of business will be a significant, revenue earner for Tata Elxsi.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management of Tata Elxsi for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for, attending the Q3 conference. We look forward to, really working hard on the Q4 numbers and coming back to you with better news in Q4. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. On behalf of Tata Elxsi, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.